We kick off hour number three of the program. What are we doing to ourselves, Houston? Why did you start this?
Better days are ahead.
It was such a good Friday. We're just rolling through the show. We got a big basketball game tomorrow.
You have to remember the bad to appreciate the good.
Well said.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Killing this LSU team. First quarter. Could have had a pick six right here. Rohan just throws it to nobody. It actually hit.
You're making it worse. You're actually going back and reliving it.
Hit the Tennessee player like right in the chest, but he was going to make the tackle. Like, what a pick six. Start the game off. First possession. Well.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, that's my bad. I shouldn't have made you look at that stuff. Actually, I did make you look at it. I just brought it up. We weren't supposed to go back and deep dive it and relive the misery. Just kind of talk about it. Take it a little too far.
Did he get hurt with 11:21 left first quarter?
Yeah, he went on it really early.
Yeah, this was the play. I told you it was a dirty hit out of bounds.
Yeah, I forgot about it being a dirty hit. Who hit him? Do you remember? Can you see? What's the number?
I can't tell the number. 50 and 58. Who was 50?
Eddie Moore?
No, it's it's really hard to see. There's so many bodies over there on the sideline.
Oh, well. Yeah, that one's coming in a lot. 2001 SEC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
John R. tweets in, says, Sister Jean. It was bad. Okay, now we can go heartwarming. We can flip the script, unless you just want to keep talking about the negative stuff. All right. Seems like the pain is more memorable than the good.
Isn't there so many options? Is it going to be the national championship? I mean, I feel like that was easy.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. It's too easy. Like James Wilhoit, after missing the extra point in 04 and then bombing the 52-yarder, like that was heartwarming.
Yeah, I was thinking that one.
That was one of the best. That was because you had your heart broken when he missed the extra point, and then the refs kind of made a mistake on the punt. Jonathan Wade gets away with a slap to the face, and then they get called for the slap in the face, 15 yards. They accidentally stop the clock, which they weren't supposed to do. Chris Hannon, field goal.
I guess looking back on it, didn't go according to plan, but in the moment, man, I still can't not pick the Dobbs Hail Mary.
No, yeah, that was... That was special.
I've never had anything like that happen because we were at the house for that, and people were just running out of their houses screaming in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's never happened.
Yeah. That was really awesome. One that ended up not going your way, but when who was it? Was it Malik Foreman when he punches the ball out against A&M after Travion Williams had busted that long run, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, is this about to happen? And then you lose an overtime on a stupid interception. But in the moment, I remember thinking, like, that is the hustle I want to see out of a Tennessee team. Then we turned it over like 9 times that day.
I think it was Keon Whiteside.
Keon Whiteside, yeah.
50, I believe that's right.
Well, way to get in there, buddy. I always wonder in that game, if Rohan Davey doesn't go out.
I mean, I'm not kidding. He almost threw a pick six on the third play of the
game. No, he was
shook.
He was okay, but when we could game plan for teams that year, we were pretty good defensively. I mean, I know we gave up 32 to Florida the week before, but everybody gave up 32 to that Florida team. That team was unstoppable. Yeah. Wish Rohan Davey hadn't gotten hurt. Toefield, whatever. I don't even, he was good. He wasn't elite. Justin Groves tweets in, 96 Florida. If you don't remember that one, Florida scored 31 points in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad. It was like nothing anyone had ever seen. It was like everyone sat down in their seats, were ready to watch Peyton versus Werfels. It's going to be great. And then it was just J. Graham fumble, caught in the air, touchdown, touchdown Florida, turnover, touchdown Florida. I've never seen anything quite like it. It might have been 2000. We played Arkansas at home, and I think we scored 35 in the first quarter. And it was just, how is this even? I've never seen anything quite like it. But, yeah, 96, I mean, that was, you know, it was Peyton versus Werfel. And I think Peyton, I looked this up yesterday, threw for 492 that day. 492, I think 4 touchdowns. and you came up one drive short. It was a rain game. It was nasty.
On the basketball side of things, beating Memphis at the time was pretty special.
That's easily the most exciting. It wasn't that season, but Pearl's first season when we beat Florida here and stormed the court, that was a great game. Dame Bradshaw had the steal and the layup at the end, and then did the exact same thing at Florida when we played them later when C.J. Watson knocked out Joakim Noah's tooth.
Beating Texas just because
that
of the
was
game
the first and, time yeah. I think. I remember we had basketball practice that day, and we were all in the locker room watching the game, and practice was supposed to start, and all the coaches came in wondering where everybody was, and then we delayed the start of practice so that we could watch Bruce and the boys whoop Rick Barnes, ironically. But that was
Lofton
and Juwan Smith that day. That was hello, Juwan Smith, where have you been all my life? He would take two steps across half court, bomb a three, and I don't know if he missed one all day. Sensational.
I'm picking wins from Pearl's era. Probably the Ohio State tournament win. I don't even really remember that much about the game.
I don't remember. All I remember is the losses to Ohio State. Greg Oden throwing somebody into God knows where with a block at the buzzer, and then we blew a 22-point lead at halftime, and they come all the way back and beat us. I remember that one.
The win was when JP blocked Evan Turner, right?
I do remember that. They wanted a foul bad and didn't get it. That was a really, really good one.
Butler to go to the Sweet 16 in overtime.
I don't remember that game either. Ironically, another basketball one, just because where I was at the time. But when John Higgins hit the half quarter, was that at Georgia Tech or was in some pre or early season tournament thing?
I thought it was at Georgia Tech.
I think it was in Atlanta, but for some reason I didn't think it was at Georgia Tech. I thought we maybe played them at the what did they call that thing?
Phillips Arena.
I don't think it may have been Phillips. I just remember we were thinking watching the game they need to miss the second free throw. Instead, they make it to go up two. Slay inbounds, throws a Peyton Manning dart to Higgins at half court. I think with 0.6 on the clock. Mm. 0.6, and he catches and just flings it up from half court. You beat Georgia Tech on that shot. Lost my mind.
It was in Atlanta, but it was the Peach Bowl Classic.
That's what I thought. I knew it was in Atlanta, but I didn't think it was at Georgia Tech.
Desperation three-point shot just beyond half court at the buzzer. Sunday giving Tennessee a 70-69 victory over Georgia Tech in the Peach Bowl Classic.
Where was it played? Was it Phillips? Or was it in the Georgia Dome? I think it was in Phillips. It had to be. Because it wasn't the Georgia Dome. I think I'd remember that. Yeah, that was good. The Sterner stumble and fumble. I mean, that's up there, all-timer. Obviously, the missed field goal by Collins Cooper in 98 against Florida, where you rush the field. That was heartwarming.
Things have changed, but there's this part of the article going back to the Georgia Tech game. Like, Tennessee had played only one game in 20 days due to the Thanksgiving holiday and exams. Like,
one game in 20 days?
Yeah. Okay, I can't even fathom that now.
Sheesh.
If you go more than 10 days, it's like, what's been happening?
Good job. This has been cathartic.
I like that. Lofton shot against Winthrop. I know you're supposed to beat them, but, man, like, just save heartache.
Yeah, I mean, especially the way that season went. You get the 2 seed, right? And then I think everybody at that point really wanted to believe in Pearl, but we were wondering, okay, are we still going to be Tennessee, though, when we get to the tournament? You lost to, what, Wichita State in the next game? Does that sound right?
Sounds right.
A pretty close game. But, yeah, the Lofton, I mean, I still his shot still defies, like, physics. But that fadeaway, and then, I don't know if you guys remember this, Stanley Asumnu runs off the bench onto the court. We 100% should have got called for a technical foul right there.
Yeah.
And Winthrop should have gone to the line and shot. And for some reason, I don't know if they went back to check to see something or if they stopped to play for whatever reason, or maybe Winthrop called a timeout. I'm not sure, but we got very, very lucky because Asumnu thought the clock had completely expired and just bolts onto the court. Technical foul.
Good memories.
Yeah, good ones. We needed some good ones.
Hour 3 continues right here on Fan Run Radio. When I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with.
With a fine-tooth comb, I was soft inside. There was something going on.
Troy says, Andy Kelly getting intercepted towards the end of the 1990 Notre Dame game in Knoxville. A chance to beat the number one team in the country. And then he sent us a good one, beating Florida in the driving rain in Knoxville in 1992.
Yeah, that 92 game was good. I don't remember that Notre Dame game, but a lot of people talk about that interception. Basically, we had a guaranteed touchdown, and some Notre Dame joker just flew through the sky and picked it off.
You know the one singular moment, though, where my heart physically, where my, I won't say my heart, my chest physically hurt? I was sitting at my dining room table reading Twitter when people started saying Greg Schiano was about to be hired. I'm not kidding. Like, that's the one, like, I get mad at sports. I get angry. I get a feeling of sadness, I guess. But I don't actually physically, I physically hurt and, like, got that sinking feeling when they said that.
It's a very bad day.
And then the coup, there wasn't, like, one moment where I knew it was over because you didn't know who you were going to get. But it just kind of gradually got better after that.
That was a really bad day. Until it wasn't that night. I think I did 8 hours of radio that day. Not very good. Not a fun time.
No. Saddest moment in three and out history, according to Graham.
What, today? That?
Not stealing dog.
Okay.
David, did you play that song of Houston thinking about dog? Is that... Was that the correlation there?
No, I mean, the idea for the song choices in hour three are more for just Valentine's Day themes.
Heartbreak.
Your significant other. I mean, what have I played so far?
Achy Breaky Heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I started, okay, that one. That was going to play no matter what. That's actually just kind of like a Friday staple here on the show. But Boys to Men, I'll Make Love to You, and then I just played Islands in the Stream by Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. Mm.
Slick tweets in and says, firing and then not rehiring Pearl. Our Final Four banner hangs in Auburn's middle school arena. Meanwhile, we're playing for NIT seeding with UCLA's coach, who scolds us on how we treated Konzo Martin.
That's not a bad take. I pretty much agree with all of that.
Heartbreaking was thinking Barnes might go to UCLA and then him just basically telling us he wanted to and couldn't. That was heartbreaking.
I mean, when Bruce Pearl wiggles off the hook in these overtime games and wins, and then last year, that was tough.
Well, okay, like I know some people would already make this argument now, but when both of their careers are over, who will they say had a better career as a coach in college basketball, Rick Barnes or Bruce Pearl?
Bruce Pearl, it's not even close.
Whoa, not close. There's still time here.
It's not close.
Why?
He's coached half the time.
Rick Barnes isn't going to make a Final Four. That's all. I mean, that's what you're judged on. That's what our man we hate said. These coaches, I mean, they talk about making the Final Four.
Why is he not going to make a Final Four?
Because he won't.
He doesn't have it.
I mean, he only got one or two more shots.
You're telling me there's never been a coach make the Final Four? Like Beeline didn't make one forever, and then he made like three.
I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible.
He's got one. I mean, him and Bruce both have one.
True.
Yeah, he's already made a Final Four, you idiot.
In 32 years?
I mean, Pearl's been coaching a long time, too. He's not a spring chicken.
Like 17 or 18?
I'm not saying Barnes hasn't coached more. I'm just saying.
I think I'm with Nate. I'd give the nod to Bruce.
Maybe it's hard. Maybe I shouldn't say it's not close, but, I mean, he took Auburn to the Final Four. Rick Barnes had Texas. It's a little bit different in terms of resources. I know they're both football schools.
I don't know, man. Texas has kind of proven since he left. It ain't as easy as you think.
Well, I'll give you that.
I was just watching this Michigan State game, and at one point you had Melvin Goins, Brian Williams, Josh Bone, Cam Tatum and Stephen Pearl in the game, and you're beating Michigan State.
And you're you 1 point away from the Final Four with that Curry.
Yeah, if he doesn't play that lineup for long, he probably goes to another Final Four here.
It's impressive he even made an Elite Eight with that.
I know.
I mean, we made a Sweet 16 last year, and there were times when it was Pons and Fulkerson and Jalen Johnson on the court.
You don't have to hate on one to talk about good things.
No, I appreciate them both. I just didn't like your Pearl, not close. Rick Barnes is never going to make a Final Four. He's already made a Final Four.
Rick Barnes used to Rick Barnes used to have that Bruce Pearl edge. I just don't feel like he has it anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We've already gone back and talked about when he kind of lost the edge as far as making
His spiritual
reawakening, so to speak.
Yeah. Rededication to being a good guy.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about Pearl doing that.
It's true.
Do you want to win basketball games or not?
We're winning basketball games. We were number one in the country last year.
Do you
want to
win basketball games that matter or not?
We made a Sweet 16.
Okay.
Can we have this conversation again in 2 years, 3 years?
Sure.
I feel like the ball's just now gotten rolling,
and now you're over here just drooling
on Bruce Pearl's shoes.
How many chances do you think Rick Barnes will have to make additional Final Fours? Like, how many?
Based on what he's doing in recruiting, I think the next 4 years you might have a shot if he coaches that long.
That's what I'm saying. I think he has two waves left. So kind of this recruiting wave and then one more. And that's probably it. I don't know. I think Bruce Pearl's a better basketball coach. Maybe I shouldn't say it's not close, but that's just my opinion. You can disagree. They're both very accomplished.
What's the career?
I don't have to put
down the wins and losses record. Like, what's the winning percentage for both these dudes?
I'm not putting down Rick Barnes when I
sounds
say
like
Bruce Pearl's really
good. I mean,
coach.
You said it's not even close. We're talking about a Hall of Fame guy and Rick Barnes, and it's not even close. It's sad. Can't find his record. Dang it.
Can't find Rick Barnes.
Here we go. So, at Southern Indiana, he won 83.4% of his games. At Milwaukee, it was 69.4% of
his
games.
He's 700-368.
He's what?
He's 700 wins.
Who?
368 losses.
Who?
That's Barnes.
Okay. Does that count everything?
Yeah.
You sure? Seems like it should be more than...
Than 1,068 games?
You said 768.
700-368. I think you missed the three. Or
okay.
Maybe I didn't say it one time.
I thought you said,
700 wins, 368 losses.
I mean, that feels like it's really close to, what, 68%, 69%?
Yeah, it's going to be,
65.4.
Okay. I mean, Pearl was, again, 83 at Southern Indiana, 69.4 at Milwaukee, 70.4 at Tennessee, and he's 62% at Auburn. 584 and 219, so 72.7. Man, I feel like it's very, very close. Now, they did it different ways, obviously. And I would say it was probably a little tougher for Barnes at a place like Clemson to win than it was for Bruce Pearl at a place like Southern Indiana or even Milwaukee.
No, it's like Clemson's like the Auburn comparison.
Yeah. I'm just saying at that time, the ACC was ridiculous for teams not named Clemson, right? I mean, that was Duke heyday, North Carolina heyday.
Wake Forest had
Tim
Duncan.
Yeah.
I don't know. One of those years, North Carolina wasn't good. It was in that book you gave me to read. Wake Forest wasn't very good.
There was always,
Duke had a down year when Coach K had to have back surgery.
Right.
Pearl's 584 and 219. So if you want the,
then I just said that.
Okay. Well, you went through them individually. I didn't.
And then it was at the bottom. I saw it. I feel like it's pretty close. I mean, right now they've basically accomplished the same amount of stuff, right?
Okay.
I'm not knocking. I'm just saying now Pearl has years to coach where he can obviously accomplish a lot more. I do wonder, though, like, how long you can sustain this at Auburn. Like, is this the final resting place for Bruce Pearl? Like, does he retire at Auburn, or does somebody else in 2, 3, 4, 5 years say, nope, come coach at Indiana? I mean, he's a bit, what? He got to start at Boston College. They kind of stink. Is there a ACC school not named Carolina or Duke that would take a shot at Pearl? Is there a Pac-12 school that would take a shot at Pearl? Big Ten? I mean, the Big Ten, is kind of his footprint from, you know, where he got his start and where he coached early.
Michigan State after Tom Izzo retires.
You think so? Like, that's one I was going to ask, and then I was like, I don't know if Michigan State would do it. And then I was like, well, they've got money to throw around. They just hired Mel Tucker.
They're already sketchy on a lot of things, too. They're fine with that if it comes, if it leads to wins.
Yeah.
I think Barnes has 4 Sweet 16s. Pearl has 3. Barnes has 3 Elite 8s. Pearl has
2.
Well, I'm not counting when you go to the Final Four. So,
oh, okay.
He's from Boston.
So 1, and then
that's where he got his start.
Well, I mean, that's where he was born too.
He was born in Boston. Yeah. Okay.
So I was just thinking,
like UMass. Well, they're so dead now.
No, I was thinking more of like if you just want to go to the Northeast, like Syracuse, because Jim Boeheim doesn't have a whole lot of time left.
Syracuse
and I don't
would
know
be
what
an interesting.
Do
that'd be an interesting one.
Well, and he coached at Iowa too for a while. They were the rumors were that he might have got that job before Tennessee.
Was it Iowa where he was when they turned in Illinois for cheating?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, and that's what a lot of people said. He's blackballed forever from the Big Ten for that reason. So that's why I was like, nah, maybe not Michigan State. But Syracuse is interesting.
Rick Barnes is 24-24 in the NCAA tournament, and Bruce Pearl's 15-10. Just for another data point. 13-10 in the SEC tournament for Bruce Pearl, and 6-4 for Rick Barnes. So pretty similar there.
Hmm. Yeah, obviously Pearl's coached in more SEC tournament games,
right?
Seeing as he had 2 stops. I kind of want Pearl out of the league. I hated it when Auburn hired him. Like, it was just far enough away to where it didn't, like, crush me, but still close enough and in the conference where I have to see it and, like, live his success because I have to watch Auburn play teams that Tennessee's going to play, not to mention that we play Auburn. Remember the first year that they met in the SEC tournament, and didn't Rick Barnes just stroke them?
I think so.
Didn't they beat him by 35 or 40? It was just not even close. That was a good day. Yeah, they got it back last year, though, in the SEC tournament. Stroked us. Good times.
Hmm. Yeah, you're right. It is close. I'll still take Bruce Pearl, but I'll walk back to it's not close.
Thank you.
At least right now. Now if Pearl goes on to 4 more Final Fours and
Barnes
wins a Natty or something,
Barnes does it.
Yeah.
Feinbaum says we're going to be number 1 next year.
Got to make the tournament first.
We're making the tournament next year. Shut up. We might make it this year. Big game tomorrow. Frank Madden in big trouble. Because Pons, healthy. James, back. Fulkerson, whatever the flu he had. It's over. He's Vescovi. Did you hear Vescovi yesterday try to say Kumwa's name?
Yeah.
He did worse than we did.
He did.
He did worse than we did when we initially read it and tried to say Cam Hua. He said Nakumu or something. Made me feel pretty good. I mean, he's international. He probably sees a lot of weird names. He can't even come close.
Well, we broke the code, Houston. We got the plan in place now.
We do?
Yeah, Rick Barnes was the man to rehabilitate Tennessee, take them right back to the top, get them right on the doorstep, and then we'll just bring Bruce back as Rick Barnes retires. It'll be enough time.
Boy, that'd be something. A little Savage Garden. I dig it. Just saying.
It is pretty, I don't know. It is pretty close. You're right. Bruce Pearl's just done it half the time, so we'll just have to see how it plays out. And if Rick Barnes can get Tennessee to a Final Four, obviously that's, I mean, Final Fours in 2 different places is pretty elite, I feel like.
I agree. How many coaches have done that?
Good question.
Roy Williams, right?
Yeah.
Kansas and North Carolina.
Okay. Fair enough. They robbed us.
I'm drawing a blank on anyone else right now, though. Because I don't think, like, Sean Miller did anything at Xavier as far as that elite.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anybody that no one had a mid-major run and then did it at a big-time program, right? Like, there's been the, like Larinaga, right? Like, if he did it at George Mason, then if he could have done it at Miami. Like, there haven't been anybody like that, right? Trying to think of mid-majors that got all the way to the Final Four, you know.
Jay Wright do anything before he got to Villanova?
Brad Stevens and just Butler.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. Shaka, if he could win with Texas.
It ain't happening.
Nope.
Bring him fired.
Yeah, that's more likely, I think.
Hmm.
No, I mean,
Rick Pitino.
Oh, yeah. How do we forget that
Kentucky
one?
Kentucky Louisville. Because the one they had, I was going to say, they had to vacate one, so I'm not sure it counts.
John Calipari?
Vacated. Doesn't count.
Okay.
Sorry. You cheat, you don't get the credit.
Eddie Sutton did it with Arkansas and Oklahoma State.
I don't remember Eddie Sutton getting there with Oklahoma State, but I'll take your word for it. That one... Yep, Roberto tweeted and says, Pitino won natties at two places. Nope, didn't. Vacated. Sorry. And Cal's, nope, does not count. Sorry.
Apparently, Larry Brown did it with UCLA in Kansas.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah.
I didn't remember that one.
Bob Huggins, wow.
Oh, yeah, because the last time he
went. I knew West Virginia, but I totally forgot about Cincinnati.
I forgot he went at Cincinnati also.
Okay, so pretty good group of coaches for sure.
I think Rick Barnes, it's weird because I think Rick Barnes will be on some all-time lists. Now, obviously not with a lot of those guys will be, you know, ahead of him, but just because of the sheer longevity, I mean, it's mm-hmm. possible. Bruce Pearl at Auburn cycles up every once in a while, but has much less success year in, year out there. Although I don't know.
Well, his first couple years started so low.
This year he's kind of proven me wrong on that though. I don't know. That's why I think the easy question is to say Bruce Pearl is more impressive than some other coaches because it just seems like he's able to do it quickly or with less talent at different times.
I buy that.
But then recruiting's part of it. I mean, you know, the kid we were talking about, they got hurt. Like, it's gonna be a
well, and also, like, the off-the-court stuff, too, I think does need to weigh a little bit. I mean, if you're – it's one thing to be good at cheating, but, I mean, I realize we probably shouldn't have fired him when we did, but you had to fire him because of the off-the-court stuff. I mean, he lied to the NCAA. He's been in trouble a couple times now with Auburn. It seems like he's one step ahead of the NCAA from getting a serious 10-year show cause a la Donnie Tindall. Rick Barnes doesn't have a single actual blip on the radar as far as the NCAA is concerned, does he?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Frank Martin, on the other hand, sorry. Letter of allegations yesterday for South Carolina. Mentioned it a little bit earlier.
What's the guy he had that was like second pick in the draft back at Kansas State? When they're shady stuff.
Michael Beasley.
Beasley, yeah. Beasley.
His agents are... He was with A3, who's based here in Knoxville. Mm.
There's not even that many active coaches that could reach that feat. Because, like, Frank Martin went to the Final Four at South Carolina. He's still at South Carolina.
Yeah.
Greg Marshall is still at Wichita State.
Real quick, Timothy Reed tweets in and says, Pitino also went with Providence in 87. Mm-hmm. So he still has two anyway. That's pretty impressive.
Well, Pitino, I mean, that dude flat out coached. Too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you want to,
if you're gonna say that, well, I guess UMass got vacated.
Yeah, sorry, Calipari nope, too, doesn't count. Vacated.
He went with three teams.
Vacated.
Well, if you just let's just throw out all the off the court stuff, like who? Pitino, I feel like can recruit and coach. Calipari.
More recruit.
I mean, he.
He's not a bad coach.
He's a good coach.
It's just a matter of he has guys after guys after guys. I mean, he did the platoon system.
Ben Howland could take Mississippi State to Final Four.
No, he can't.
I'm just saying.
Like, yeah, but he's
looking,
no,
for
no.
options, people that are even in the
right. Like Bill Self is at Kansas, so he
can't go.
He
with
can't
the
do it. Sure, Jay sure. Wright, Villanova, he can't do it. There's not very many out there. Tony Bennett's at Virginia. Tom Crean can. He took Marquette to Final Four.
He did? I don't remember that one either. So I don't remember. I don't remember it was Crean that was there. But how about it?
I don't see that happening
anytime
soon.
That had
to be
in like 01 or 02?
2003.
Okay.
But Mark Few, I mean, he's at Gonzaga, so yeah.
Great point by Travis Cabbage. You guys were saying bring back Pearl. He says maybe Barnes is building the program up for Tindall's show cause ending in 2050.
No thanks.
Yeah, I like Don T. I mean, he's dirty, but he was at least funny. I think he was a really good coach too. He just couldn't get out of his own way.
Mm. I'd rather have Pearl back.
Well, of course.
I'd rather
no one's saying they would rather have Donnie Tindall over Bruce Pearl.
I'd rather have Steve Forbes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, man. I like Forbes a lot.
I was looking at it had coaches over 600 wins on a page, and Rick Barnes just hit 700. He's at 700 right now. Is that right? Or maybe this isn't updated.
701 or 2, I thought.
Okay. Yeah, it's not. I guess it's not updated. But there's two other coaches on the list higher that Rick Byrd. And then Randy Lambert, Maryville, Tennessee, right down the street.
How about that? How about that? Good for you.
There you go.
Good for you. That's.
Made the list ahead of John Calipari.
I think Belmont just renamed their court after Rick. Mm.
They totally should.
Yeah, he was a great coach.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have made the argument that he could have came to Tennessee in a few times.
Yeah, that was going to say there was numerous times where it felt like his name was on the list but never really considered for whatever reason.
Now, his teams were fun to watch in the NCAA tournament.
No, they really were.
Davey, do you know who has the most Final Four appearances by a coach?
All time?
Yep.
I mean, got to be Wooden, right?
Two are tied at the top.
This is great radio. It's really good.
I'm waiting for guesses.
K doesn't have as many as Wooden. I don't know who the other guy is.
John Wooden and Coach K, both at 12.
Really? I thought K had 11.
That's
okay.
I was like, it's got to be K.
I thought.
Dean Smith has 11, and no one else has 10.
For some,
oh, really?
Which one am I missing?
How about Rupp? How many do you have?
Six.
Okay.
Thought you'd get that one, Davey.
Probably. Oh, I know what I was thinking. I added one in my head because I was doing the numbers as if he would have gotten there last year, but they lost to Michigan State. I didn't bring up the topic, Crest. Don't be in the mic.
I do what I want.
We'll come back. Final segment. We'll set you up. South Carolina, Tennessee tomorrow. It's a big game for Tennessee basketball. And we'll give you the rundown, give you our picks as well. Stick with us right here as we wrap up the week on 3 and Out. Final segment of the program. Happy Valentine's Day. Don't forget, swing by Bradley's Gift and Home, 141 North Peters, to pick up your chocolate-covered strawberries, white chocolate, milk chocolate. They got you covered. It's your one-stop shop for Valentine's Day. It's not too late. Swing in. Bradley's Gift and Home, 141 North Peters in Cedar Bluff. We'll give you our picks. It's a surprisingly big game for Tennessee tomorrow. 6 o'clock tip from Colonial Life Arena. In Columbia, South Carolina, as the Vols try and climb back up on the bubble. Got a couple of got-to-win-them games right now, and then you take your shots at the big dogs in the SEC. Houston, how you feeling?
I feel like we're going to be in another grinded-out game late, unless this team's been so up and down lately. You know, you watch them play against Arkansas, and you think, wow, maybe they've got something working. Same when they came back down 15 against Alabama, and then you saw kind of the woes against a really talented Kentucky team. Had a chance to cut it to 2 on a bout and 3, misses it. Obviously this South Carolina team not nearly as talented as Kentucky or Auburn or even Florida, but they're tough, man. Like I don't think there's a chance Tennessee can run away with this one, and if South Carolina gets hot in their own gym, it's possible. I just think I mean, you look at these two teams. Points per game, separated by four. Points against, separated by four. They are basically the same team. Tennessee a little bit better defensively. South Carolina a little bit better offensively. I mean, and it's right around the total that I think was KenPom said, right? What do you say, 69-66? I mean, it's going to be that type of game. At least it looks like it. Interested to see. I mean, obviously, Josiah's back practicing. Does that mean he actually sees the floor tomorrow, or does that just mean he's closer? And then Pond's not practicing yesterday was a little bit of an eye-opener for me. Do we get a little bit more clarification on his status today? I would think so. I think if Tennessee's fully healthy, they're going to play well and win this game. But, I mean, if Pons isn't 100%, if James can't go again, it seems like Fulkerson's back after battling some type of bug against Arkansas. I'm tempted to pick Tennessee, but I feel like this is going to be a coin flip type of game.
Well, I'm going to pick Tennessee. I think it'll be a little higher scoring than the one last time, obviously, which was in the 50s. Like Rick Barnes mentioned, South Carolina actually likes to get up and down the floor. But I think Tennessee will be able to score. And I've got Santiago Vescovi, Billy's guy, hitting a three at the buzzer.
At the buzzer.
To win it 73-72.
Just officially taking over Lamonte's big shot status?
Yep.
This is where we crown him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How are they in the post? Are they like a dominant big team?
No, they struggle to score.
That's why I think Tennessee actually matches up pretty well. Yeah. Kotsar is 6'11", 270, but he's more finesse than strength,
yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. so he's not a guy that's just going to beat guys down there. I think Fulkerson can guard him. I think it's actually a pretty decent matchup for Tennessee. And the rest of the guys on the perimeter, it's, you know, they don't have a super lightning quick guy. AJ Lawson, of course, is pretty quick at 6'6", 178, but that's still, it's more like the, what's the Arkansas kid?
Mason Jones.
He's a little bigger and a little slower, but it's not like AJ Lawson is some super jitterbug. And those are the guys that have really given us problems this year. So I think Tennessee, I think it's just a good back and forth game, comes down to the wire.
How are they against the three, Billy?
13th in the nation.
Okay, good. So how are they against the two?
About 35th. Not as good as Tennessee.
What was Arkansas? Weren't they number one against the three?
Against
the two, they were in the 50s. Does that sound right?
Not bad, yeah.
So similar defensive team to Arkansas?
Well, 90s now. I don't know. So maybe not as high as 50, but.
South Carolina does turn teams over pretty good clip.
No, yeah, that was an issue for Vescovi in the first game against them. I think he had 7 in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so much better now than he was.
Yeah, and remember, a couple of those were walks that were called that he. I haven't seen Vescovi called for a walk in quite some time. Mm-mm. So he's kind of learned that. I don't know. I like this game to be close. I know I said that against about the Arkansas game. I thought they would have played a little bit better. But South Carolina is a pretty good team. I'm not buying the hype that they're just so good. I know they've won a couple games in a row, but they beat Vandy, Missouri, A&M, Georgia, A&M again. Like that list just doesn't really impress me. I like Tennessee in a close one as well.
Davey?
The only game I'm probably going to pick the Vols to win the rest of the season will be Vanderbilt.
I always love going to him on these things, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow, I expect the score to be in the low 60s. I expect it to be close, but I'm going to say South Carolina 65, Tennessee 63.
68-60. Good guys.
I'm also going to bet South Carolina, so it's like I can buy a win to an extent. If South Carolina doesn't cover, it's more money for me.
You betting them to cover, or you going to bet money line?
If it gets below, I'm going to take money line unless it gets below 3.
Have we seen it? It hasn't officially released yet, right? We'll get that tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fair enough.
South Carolina's 352nd in free throws attempted divided by I guess that's what that is, divided by field goals attempted.
Yeah, so how many free throws they take per field goal they take.
But this is on defense, so I'm assuming that means they foul a ton.
Tennessee shot 28 free throws in the first meeting. It's what kept you in the game. You hit 22 of 28 from the free throw line. South Carolina hit 13 of 22.
And since it's red, it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that means that they put the other team on the line a ton.
Yeah,
one
like
of the worst teams in the conference.
Yeah,
the
like
country.
Notre Dame's the best in the nation at 19.6. I think South Carolina's at 50. 50. Yeah.
Yeah. So
watch Notre Dame play right before the Vols.
Tennessee should be able to get to the line a lot if I'm reading that statistic correctly. It would make sense too because teams don't shoot a great percent from the line against South Carolina, which if with more attempts that would kind of make sense. And they are awful at the line.
Yeah, yeah, they're almost last in. I mean,
they're 345.
Yeah,
from the free throw line.
From the free throw line.
Foul him.
61.
Plavsic. We got five fouls. Use them.
Yeah.
Pember. Pember got 10 minutes against these guys in the first game. Kamal got 13. Jalen Johnson got 18. And Devontae Gaines got 7. I dare say that'll look a lot different after Saturday's game. I think you'll probably see Gaines get in and play pest a little bit on Lawson.
Problem is, can you hit shots? Because they're... their defense,
you didn't
hit
him in the first game. You shot 25% from the floor, 19% from three, including the lovely 1 of 12 from three for Jay Bowden.
Well, both these teams have been really good on the defensive end. So who can score? If you score the most points, you're going to win the basketball game.
Science.
Let's hope it's Tennessee. We'll break it all down for you on Monday, of course. The Blitz continues right here on Fan Run Radio. Stick with us. Keep it locked in for more from Fox Sports Knoxville. Have a great weekend.
Happy Valentine's Day.